This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.
There. Welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. Thank you so much for stopping by. It's great to be with you. Today we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. There's going to be a message that emerges, I believe, from these readings today. And it has to do with mercy, kindness, forgiveness, turning the other cheek. None of us are going to doubt, or none of us, let's say, all of us should will expect God to treat us with mercy and to forgive us, right? We're used to that. We're used to going to Him and asking for forgiveness, and He forgives us. But yet sometimes somebody will offend us or do something against us, and we're not going to be as willing. Well, it's a tough message this week because I don't know how else to get around this point. But Jesus is pretty clear. If we don't forgive others, if we're not willing to show mercy, then we can't expect mercy ourselves. It's really a simple message. But because of our pride, we have a hard time with it. And I'm not going to lie and say I don't ever struggle with this, because I do. But I'm going to let the scriptures speak for themselves today. Maybe have a couple comments. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide my words. But I think the message is clear. We need to take it seriously. And we need to forgive and show mercy. And maybe, you know, throughout the course of the program, we'll talk about some ways that we can show mercy, that we can be godlike to those we encounter. Because every one of us, at one point in time or another, will be offended, or will be hurt, or will be injured in some way by someone. And you might be really feeling that right now. And what comes out of these scriptures does not in any way imply you shouldn't feel hurt if somebody does something to hurt you or injure you or damage your reputation or betray you. You're allowed to feel hurt. And you don't have control over that. Feelings happen. We can't control feelings. What we can control, however, are thoughts and actions. Jesus is not saying to us today, don't be hurt, don't feel pain. He's saying forgive, as He did on the cross, you know, and we sometimes downplay His suffering on the cross. I mean, nobody's going to deny Jesus suffered tremendously on the cross, but what we do is we claim, well, He was divine or He was God, so He could handle it a lot better than we could. He still felt the pain. He voluntarily took on that torture on the cross, and the humiliation that led to Him being there out of love for you and me. And He doesn't ask us to get up on the cross and be crucified in a literal sense. But He does ask us to forgive the offenses that people commit against us. So let's look at these. Let's look at these readings today. You know, I prefer the "Let not your heart be troubled" message. I prefer "I'm always there for you when you need me." That's the message I like to deliver. But this is one of the reasons I like going along with the cycle of readings as given to us by the church, because Jesus makes me say things and speak out and teach me, because guess what? He's speaking to me too through these readings. He tells me things that I need to hear. He tells me things that I need to talk about, even if I would rather not hear them and rather not talk about them. But this is all part of following Jesus. Sometimes it can be a little painful. Sometimes it can be challenging. But that's the beauty of the Bible, the dynamic, living, breathing Word of God. And when you follow the readings according to the schedule of the church, then we get taken down these roads and open these pages that we would probably just want to flip over. That's why I'm a big advocate of reading the daily mass readings, the Sunday mass readings, and not necessarily just my favorite verses and passages. It's still good to do that, but it's also good to be stretched a little bit. So, are you ready to be stretched? I hope so, because this is going to be a very stretchy program today. Hey, let's pray before we go any further, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to address you in prayer. Father, help us to remember that prayer is not so much just asking for things. It's not checking a box so that we can say we put in our prayer time today. But it's a relationship. Prayer is a relational activity. It's how I get to know you better. Now, you already know more about me than I know about myself, but you still like me to come to you in prayer, to praise you, to thank you, to ask for what I need, to say that I'm sorry when I commit what sins that I committed. That pleases you. And you never turn us away saying, "Well, you don't have to tell me that. I already know what you need." You just want to hear from us. And it's just such a pleasure to be able to spend time with you, Father, knowing that through Jesus, you are our Father. Please bless us this day. Strengthen us. Send your Spirit to come alive in us so that we can better understand your message today contained in these readings. Give me the words. I don't want this show to be about me. I ask for your Spirit to lead my tongue today so that I can speak the words you would want me to speak. Father, I thank you, and I ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in. If you are a new listener to the program, this is the Gary Zimak Show. I'm Gary Zimak. We do this program once each week, and it focuses on the Sunday Mass readings. Today, we're looking at the readings for the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And just to give you an idea of where we stand in what they call the church year or the liturgical year, there are 33 weeks in Ordinary Time. And Ordinary Time is those points in time outside of Lent or Advent or the Easter season. So Ordinary Time, what we're in right now, 33 weeks. And then there's a 34th Sunday, which is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we are kind of coming to the more or less the end of the church year. And then in Advent, when we encounter that Solemnity of Christ the King, the next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent, and the church year starts all over again. So you kind of got that eternal, never-ending thing going, and I like that, because in a sense, that's the way God is, and that's the way our life is. Our time on earth is going to be done, but then we'll move on to the next life, which is life with the Lord in heaven, hopefully. You know, of course, it's guaranteed for us. We've got the room reserved in heaven, but we can mess it up. And we just have to try our best to follow him. You know, this is not a matter of cowering in fear. It shouldn't be. It's a matter of getting to know God, doing your best to follow his commandments. When you mess up, you seek forgiveness through the sacrament of confession. You know, because this is all about mercy today. And we need his mercy. And he's willing to give it to us. So all we got to do is give it our best shot. Love God, love other people, and you will make it to heaven. And that's something to rejoice in, right? We all want to be there. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can find out all about my books, including the latest one, which is going to be out in just a couple of weeks. Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. Through the website, you can order all of the books. I have links to Amazon right from the website. You can sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's free of charge. You can also download the podcast that I do every day. And this is a weekly show you're listening to now. You might be listening to it in podcast form. You might be listening to it over one of the many Catholic radio stations that airs the show each week. But also I have a daily podcast that's going to be free of charge too. It's called Following the Truth. You can download that every day. Okay, let's take a look at these readings for the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. As I do each week, I'm going to start with the gospel, let the gospel lead the way, and then we'll support the message of the gospel with the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the second reading. The gospel this week comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? How often must I forgive? As many as seven times. Now, obviously, Peter is going into this with an idea, talking to Jesus. And, you know, you got to give good old Peter credit. He's prepared, I think, to receive an answer that he might not want to hear. You ever in a situation like that where you ask somebody something and you think like, oh, I hope they don't tell me something I don't want to hear. You know, like you go, you ask the question and you hope for the best that they're not going to say the dreaded thing that you want, that you don't want them to say, but then sometimes they do. And well, so Peter goes, and I think Peter is, Peter's confident. Peter's feeling good about himself. Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? As many as seven times? And Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is, I'm sure, an answer that blew Peter away. That 77, seven being the perfect, the number representing perfection in the Bible, that really translates to an infinite amount of times. So as many times as you're offended, that's how many times you must forgive. Now, you and I, we've heard this before. This is nothing new to us. If we've been familiar with the Bible, we've been going to Mass or going to church for number of years, we've heard this before. But in the time of when our Lord walked the face of the earth, this was a bit of a radical concept, this idea of unlimited forgiveness. But this is why Jesus stretches us so often. And then because he knew that Peter would probably question this or have a hard time with it, Jesus proceeds to tell a parable. And he says, that is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. And one of the things Jesus likes to do is he likes to speak using stories to make it more understandable. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, and they went to their master, and they reported the whole affair. His master summoned him, and he said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. And Jesus concludes this story by saying, "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." You know, it's very difficult to misinterpret or miss the point of this gospel passage. God forgives us an unlimited amount of times. And Jesus went to the cross for our sins. He didn't have sins of his own. He went for your sins and for my sins. But what he tells us is you owe something. You need to do something. You know, a lot of times we like the free ride. We thought, well, Jesus paid the debt for our sins, so hallelujah. Yeah, he did. But he expects us to do the same thing. And you and me, are we capable of doing that? No, we're not. There's going to come a point where we will not be able to forgive somebody from the heart, because we're going to be too mad at them. We're going to be angry. We're going to be resentful. You and me, we can't do it by ourselves. And that's why, and Jesus knew that. And that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, you can forgive an unlimited amount of times. Unlimited amount of times. You can forgive that person who hurt you tremendously. And remember, or I don't know if you know this, but forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an action. I can forgive somebody and still have bad feelings about them. And through the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love. I can love somebody even if I don't like them, even if I'm still hurt by what they did. That does not mean I have to subject myself to insults, to further abuse, to anger. I don't have to do that. I can withdraw from the situation, but I cannot, according to Jesus, refuse to forgive that person by praying for them, praying that the Lord will bless them, by, if possible, showing them that I'm not angry anymore. You know, I can choose to do that. And boy, does it hurt, doesn't it? It's not easy. But the Holy Spirit can make that process easier. And that's why the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the first reading to see where the elements, where the support for the gospel can be found. And that's why this first reading was chosen. It's from the book of Sirach, beginning in chapter 27, I'm sorry, verse 30. "Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sin in detail. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven." Boy, that's clear, isn't it? "Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? If one who is but flesh cherishes wrath, who will forgive his sins? Remember your last days. Set enmity aside. Enmity aside. Remember death and decay and cease from sin. Think of the commandments. Hate not your neighbor. Remember the Most High's covenant and overlook faults." Boy, that is a powerful reading, isn't it? And again, and this is a great reminder, the reminder in this first reading that we will be judged one day. And look, I just said it a few minutes ago. I'll say it again. Don't live your life cowering in fear that God is going to judge you one day. He's your father. He loves you. Jesus will be there at your judgment. But you are going to have to account for your refusal to forgive somebody. And remember, it's not a feeling. So if I'm not going to forgive somebody, it's a conscious decision. And I would like to tell you that I've forgiven everybody, but I struggle with this sometimes. But that means I need to keep working with the help of God's grace to forgive people. Again, it's not a feeling. It's a decision. It's a conscious choice. I choose to forgive this person. You think Jesus felt good when he was on the cross praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? He gave his murderers the benefit of the doubt, and he forgave them. We're called to do the same thing. You know, the good thing about the message from these readings today, it's pretty clear. What's the bad thing? The bad thing is it's a tough message. And it's one that we would rather not hear. But here's the question. Are we really going to follow Jesus, or are we just going to follow him in name only? That's the thing. And there were times I'd rather just follow him in name only, because it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard because of pride. It's hard because of loss of control. It's hard because of the sometimes the loss of comfort. I got to step outside of my comfort zone, maybe to say I'm sorry to somebody, or to say I forgive you when I want to say I don't forgive you. But pride has a way of getting, it just gets in the way sometimes. But the rewards of Christianity, of being a legitimate, true follower of Christ, both in this world and in the next, they far exceed any of the unpleasant aspects. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 103, it focuses on the Lord. But again, remember, there's two sides to this. He's merciful, provided that we're merciful. The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger, and rich in compassion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now listen to this. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. Redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. He will not always chide, nor does he keep his wrath forever. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. He forgives us. He's merciful. Praise God for that. Can you imagine if we had a limit on the number of times we could sin and be forgiven? Right? I mean, that could be, God could have said, you got five shots, five times, then no more. He doesn't do that. But again, he expects us, with the help of the grace given to us by the Holy Spirit, to treat others in the same way. Look, my sins put Jesus to death on the cross. He died for my sins. He had to be crucified because of my sins. That's one of those facts that we can't argue with. We might not feel it. We might not agree with it, but it is the truth. He went to the cross because of me. So he had to endure a crucifixion because of my offenses. I've been offended by many people since I've been alive. None of them even come close to that. Nobody put me up on a cross. So if he could forgive me for putting him up on the cross, making him suffer, I can forgive the people who offend me. And furthermore, he gives me the Spirit to help me. So he doesn't even ask me to do it on my own. Wow. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So we're called to live for the Lord. As a Christian, I am called to be transformed, to allow myself to be transformed into the image of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Therefore, how should I act? Well, I have to forgive people. I have to show mercy. How many times have I failed to do that? And, you know, it can be so bad sometimes that we might not even want to pray for someone. And I'll be honest, I have been praying for people at times in the middle of prayer. And I'd start replaying the offense, how they offended me. And before you know it, I imagine myself yelling at them. I'm embarrassed to tell you that, but it's true. That's why I need to just seek forgiveness from the Lord and ask for the grace to do better. And I think when we mess up, it reminds us of just how much we need him. It keeps us humble. As we bring this to a close, I mean, they were the readings, but the Alleluia verse, which precedes the gospel at Mass, it's John 13:34. And these are the words of Jesus. I give you a new commandment, says the Lord, love one another as I have loved you. And as we bring this show to a close, how did he love us? He gave his life for us on the cross. Love one another as I have loved you. I'm going to be praying for you. We can all do this. We don't have to feel it. Feelings are not right or wrong. Feelings are just that. They're feelings. We can rise above our feelings and pray for somebody who offended us. Be nice to them, even if we don't feel it. I'm going to pray for you, and I would ask you to please pray for me as well. Well, we are at the end of the program. I can't believe how fast the time flew by. Again, it's always a pleasure to be with you. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Please remember to, if you'd be so kind as to help fund my ministry. We're in some tough times right now, and I'd greatly appreciate your financial help. You can do that if you're able to, by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. And you can do that. Once you click on donate, you get taken to PayPal. You can do it securely. What you do by doing that is, first of all, you enable me to keep going financially, to keep this ministry going and supporting my family through spreading the gospel. I can't do this without your help. And you also allow me to make programs like this and my daily podcast and my daily email devotional available free of charge. I don't want to be charging for what I put out. So if you'd be so kind as to be able to be willing to donate to my ministry, followingthetruth.com, click on donate. It would really, really help me. And I believe it'll help other people too. People who couldn't afford to pay for the podcast, couldn't afford to pay for the devotional. It gives me a way to be able to reach out and share the good news with them without having to charge for it. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. To do that. You know you're in my prayers, and God willing, I would love to be back here with you next week, and that's going to be my plan. If the Lord allows it, I'm going to be here, and I hope you can be here as well. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to be praying for you. Remember what Jesus said. We need to forgive. We need to forgive. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. By ourselves, we can't do it, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, yes, it is possible. Have a great week. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you next week on The Gary Zimak Show. Bye.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.